Excellent, excellent. Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah. It's my most favorite time of the year. I'll scooch this back here just a little bit here. How many of you are ready for Christmas? You ready? You got all the packages and all the presents who are bought and everything. How many of you are just kind of wondering, you know, what do I get the kids? How many of you got any kids that, you know, just are really hard to buy for? Can I just promote something here? I got something maybe that your kids would really, really like. This was a gift that was given to me, and I'm thinking about, I don't know, maybe starting something here. But I was gifted by the young adult ministry here at this church, the original Pastor Sheldon and Pastor Michelle doll. And I just, right. So we will be taking some orders at the Connect Center. If you would like to purchase some of those. I mean, can you just imagine the fun that your kids, not you, your kids could have with something like this? And so, yeah, I want to thank the Young Adult Ministry. Thank you guys, the Young Adult Life Group, for that. You know, I was reading here about some actual letters that were written to Santa. Anybody who you still kind of do that tradition, your kids write letters to Santa? Maybe some of you still write letters to Santa. I don't know where you're at with that. But here's a couple of letters here. This is from a young lady named Sarah, and she wrote, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance." Signed, Sarah. All right, Sarah. All right, another one written by, it said, "Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live at our house. There is Jeffrey, and he is 2. There is David, and he is 4. And there is Brian, and he is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. But Ryan is good all of the time. I am Ryan." So again, sometimes you write somebody, you write Santa a letter and you don't know what to say. I can give you those templates when we get back here. Have you ever found yourself at Christmas time and maybe you've tore into the gifts and, you know, you had that time together with the family, but you got smiley face on the outside, but on the inside, you were left wishing maybe there was more. Maybe the not a material gift, but in your heart of hearts. Have you ever wished that there was a gift for your heart? For your heart. I'm going to talk about your physical heart, but your insides. So we've been on a sermon series called All I Want for Christmas. And we could just kind of go around the room and everybody tells us what you want. But I think on the inside, I think if we were all real, we're really looking for something to take place on the inside. And maybe we're hoping that if we got that special gift, it would change the condition of the inside. Last week, we talked about the inside condition of peace. And a big motivation, the reality is a big motivation of why people do what they do is because they want peace. We live in a chaotic world. You got a chaotic relationship. There's chaos going on, and you just, I need peace, you know, and sometimes you get together with family, we're going to go away for the holidays, and you just don't get the peace that you're looking for. Today's topic is another one of those things I believe all people are looking for, and that topic is joy. Today, the title of my message is All I Want for Christmas is Joy. All I Want for Christmas is Joy. In Luke chapter 2, and for those who are going to gather around the Christmas tree and read the Christmas story, is best found in Luke chapter 2. The angels, we've been talking about this the past few weeks, but the angels arrive in the sky, and there's these shepherds out in the field, and they're just blown away. And there's an angel that just speaks to the shepherds, proclaiming, "This is what's happening today. Today, something really amazing is happening." It says, "That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flock of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified." Terrified. The opposite of peace, the opposite of joy. But the angel looks at their heart conditions and, no, listen to me. The angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Everybody say good news. Good news. This is good news that will bring great. This good news is going to bring what?
Joy.
Great joy to all the people. Now, he's just not talking about like all the people in the vicinity. Like, this is like this message, this Jesus brings joy into the world. He is the joy your heart is looking for. And he says, the Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You see, that night, true joy, the joy that your heart is looking for, entered into the world. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Joy, peace, hope, and joy have come into this world. And this joy was meant to bring this gift was meant to bring joy to all mankind. It wasn't back just for the day. It is for today. It is for you, that joy. And you think about all the Christmas carols. How many of you are listening to the Christmas carols on the radio? I love that time of year. I don't want to point out my wife, but I will do that. She starts like the Christmas carols like in October, and that is a Christmas violation. So if some of you who care about my wife, if you could talk to her about that, you do not start the Christmas carols until after Thanksgiving. And everyone said, amen. Okay, all right, we got a bigger crowd than I thought. Sweetheart, I still love you. When she has that look, that means nothing's going to change. Okay, we tried. But Christmas carols, we know the classic Christmas carols, and so many of them are filled with great theology, but filled with this message. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Yeah, joy to the world. I sound like Bob Hope a little bit, don't I? Oh, holy night, a thrill of hope, the world rejoices. I messed that up. Don't quit my day job. Is that what you're saying? Don't do that. Okay. Come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Yeah, yes. So joy. I mean, it's just a total message of joy, the messages of joy. Hallmark channels, full movies of joy, great tidings of joy. However, not everyone views Christmas with such joy. Some folks would use maybe the word, man, Christmas is busy. Somebody might say, it's Christmas. When I think of Christmas, I think of the word chaotic, headache, heartache, expensive, painful. Christmas. For some, Christmas is just another day, only a little bit more expensive and a lot more trouble. Yeah. And it's sad. How sad that an event that brought so much, listen to me, so much joy that was announced to us, how can an occasion that brought so much joy bring so little joy here on earth? What is joy? The definition of joy is it's a deep sense of contentment that comes from God's Spirit. We're going to talk about that here, but it's not the things in this world, but it comes from God's Spirit. Joy remains. That means when it comes from God's Spirit, that it can remain even in the midst of your biggest problems, your biggest challenges. There can be joy. You see, joy is a choice. Look at your neighbor and say, joy is a choice. So tell them, and so don't be so crabby. It's a choice. So let me ask you this question. Do you have joy in your life? Is your heart filled with joy? Are you typically a joyful person? Are you living the joy-filled life? How many of you ever met a joy buster? Anybody work with a joy buster? Don't say their names, but you know what a joy buster is? no matter what. I mean, you can come in and like, hey, guys, guess what? I just won $1 million from the lottery. Oh, yeah? Well, the government's going to take more than half of it away. I just want a brand new truck. Oh, yeah? Well, you're going to have to pay the taxes on that. Like a joy buster. There's people who, they call him, that one person on Saturday Night Live called Debbie Downer, okay? Anybody know a Debbie Downer? Anybody sitting next to a Debbie Downer? Don't do that. Don't raise your hand. Let me ask you this. Would people who are in your life say, yeah, you are a Debbie Downer? Joy busters. Joy busters have a way of stealing the joy and life. And sometimes it's not just people, but there's situations. Let me talk about a few of these common joy busters that we may have in our life. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe a joy buster is having an unsatisfied expectation. You know, that happens at Christmas time. We're going to get together, and it's going to be the greatest moment, and everybody's going to get along, and the food's going to be great, and everything, the turkey or whatever is going to be perfect. And then you get together, and it's like chaos in the kingdom. And it's like, those expectations that everybody's going to get along, and it just didn't happen. Or maybe you have an unsatisfied expectation in your work. You didn't get that promotion that you were supposed to. Or maybe you have that in your marriage. When we got married, it was going to be great. And now that we're a few years into it, it's just like, the expectations that I had, my life's dreams. You see, when our expectations don't pan out, it's easy to get discouraged and live without joy. Maybe this unresolved conflict. You see, our joy evaporates when we allow conflict with others to go on. And it's hard. Conflict is no fun. We don't like it. And again, that's one of those situations you can like, hey, it's great to see you. But then on the inside, you're saying, no, it's not. Wish I wasn't here seeing you right now. Conflict. It's when somebody's offense against us occupies our mental health and it leaks down into our hearts and it shows up in our life. I think some of us would cringe right now because of the unresolved conflict with the relative you know that you're going to see during Christmas. Instead of joy at Christmas, our heart gets clouded by anger. I was talking to a friend of mine here in the church, and she shared a story of, hey, I had some unresolved conflict in church world. This was from a different church, but I want you to hear her story. This is Nichelle.
Attending a Thrive Church for about 2 years. I moved to the area about 10 years ago and attended a different church at that time. I then experienced some things that most of you are probably familiar with, church hurt and some other items along those lines. I actually stopped going to church around COVID. With the pandemic and the lockdowns, it was very easy to just not attend service. And I found myself also not attending online services either. I feel that when COVID was hitting and I was at that point where I'd withdrawn and I wasn't going to church, obviously not leaving my house because we were told not to, but I feel like there was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of depression that was happening as well. I didn't want to admit that was happening. It actually took, you know, as it usually does, an outside person to be like, hey, feel like you're not doing okay. And that was actually my husband who pointed out that even though we didn't want to go back to the church that we were at, that we needed to find a church. That was probably the first, like, okay, I guess. It took me a while to really reconnect with God, and I felt nudges, but I tried to avoid them. And I actually met another member of the church here. Her name is Raina, and we started our friendship by trying to find a church together. That's actually what kind of solidified our relationship. We found Thrive, and it took a bit to really even acclimate to the church here, mainly because of my past experiences. There is so much that goes into really reopening your heart, so to speak, to a church. But it was really cool to kind of watch God work in my life, send the right people my way. I'm really just thankful for the people that God has placed in my life, because if it wasn't for my husband, if it wasn't for other godly members of my family, my friends, I think that it would have taken me a lot longer to come back, if I even came back. So I'm really thankful for the influences that were placed in my life. I feel like in the last year, I don't dread going to service. I enjoy hearing the messages. I enjoy meeting the community that I have met here. And I really feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. I feel like I'm back to, I wouldn't even say my normal self. I'm better than my normal self. I feel happier. I feel confident in who I am. And I feel like there's just, even when there's bad days, I can, you know, just look to God and be like, hey, you know what? I know you have this, and it really stinks, but I'm gonna trust you to get me through this.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Nichelle. Thank you for doing that. Nichelle, you are probably one of the most joyful people I know, and I'm so glad that you found Thrive Church, and thank you for sharing that testimony. But did you hear her heart? When there was unresolved conflict, there was anxiety and there was depression. And maybe some of you can relate to that. Another joy buster can be this thing called, and I think it's one of the biggest ones, is unconfessed sin. And this joy buster is responsible for chasing more joy out of our lives than others. You see, when we have unconfessed sin in our life, our soul is flooded with guilt and shame, and all of a sudden we just like there's no room. But you know what that word is called? You know what the reason why that what's going on in your heart is that word is called conviction. That the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you're going down the wrong path here, and like, hey, you know, you need to make amends. You need to ask God for forgiveness for that. It's called conviction, and conviction is not a bad thing. But then when it becomes bad is when we allow it to become unresolved. And so my hope for you in this Christmas is that it is the most joy-filled, peace-filled, hope-filled Christmas that you ever experience. That's why we're talking about this subject. And I want you to know, as I talk about joy, you need to hear me. I'm not talking about happiness. All right? Believe it or not, those two words, they're so closely connected, but they're very different. I want to talk to you this morning about that difference of happiness and joy. My prayer is that you would find joy, the joy that Jesus has come to give you. So let's dig into this morning. As we talk about the difference between happiness and then joy. So my first point is this, if you're following along in your notes, happiness is an outward experience. Joy is inward. Happiness is an outward experience. Joy is inward. A good person to learn about this topic of joy, I would say, is the Apostle Paul. So before his conversion, if you know his story, it was very evident that this man did not have joy in his life. He was a persecutor. Okay, he did not know Jesus. The Jesus that he knew is a Jesus he hated. He hated Jesus. He hated all things Christians, and he hated so much that he became a persecutor. But then he had a Jesus experience that completely changed his life, completely. And he discovered the joy that Jesus can bring into a person's life, and he embraced it. But because of that, He went from persecutor to persecuted. And I want you to know, you think you've got it rough. If you know Paul's story, man, it's a tough story. He was persecuted. He was wrongfully imprisoned. He was whipped multiple times. He was beaten. He was stoned and so on because he preached Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, you see just a glimpse of how different he lived his life. You see, he had in the midst of this persecution, he was able to have joy because he had a different focus. I want you to listen to his words here. He's talking to, he's a persecuted Christian. He's in prison, and he's talking to other Christians who are being persecuted. And he's kind of telling him, this is how I work through this. I just look at the truth of God's word. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. When you lose heart, that's just, I don't allow discouragement and anxiety and depression to rule my heart. He says, though outwardly, we are wasting away. Okay, they may have been in a jail, in a prison, and that might have been their reality. On the outside, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. So he's going, no, but I want to tell you what's going on in the inside of me. I'm not going to allow Satan to destroy what's going on the inside of me. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So he says, so fix our eyes not on what is seen, on the outward. Okay, because things that are happening on the outward, they can become all-consuming, right? It's like, oh, my job, my work, my family, all that can become consuming. But he says, but we don't focus on that. I focus on what is on the unseen, the inward. I focus on what God is doing inside of me, what he has done for me. Since what is seen on the outward is temporary, but what is unseen inward is eternal. Do you see the difference here? Do you see the difference of the focus? You see, happiness is always dependent on things that are on the external. You see, at Christmas, this Christmas, you'll probably receive the latest and the greatest thing that you've always wanted. The thing you was like, oh my goodness, my wish came true, and I received that thing. You really did hear me. Thank you, Santa. You'll get that one thing, and this is going to make me happy. But how many of you notice you got that one thing? Like, my whole world's going to be changed, but it only lasts for a little while, and then it eventually fades away until you find another one thing that you want. How do I know? How do I know this? We moved here coming up on 5 years, 5 years ago that we moved here from DePeer, Wisconsin. And they're in our basement, there are boxes still full of things that at one time I wanted so bad. If I had that one thing, and now it's in my basement in a box, and I've still forgotten. How many of you can relate to that? And those who have moved, you're like, I've had that one thing, and now you got a whole basement full of those one things. So Paul challenges us, instead of focusing on the things that are outward, money, power, possession, status, relationships, Paul challenges us to focus on the inward, to find what we're looking for. He challenges us to focus on the joy of the Lord. And joy, as I said before, is dependent on what God does to us internally when we come into relationship with him. None of this is external, but what you allow God to do internally. Second of all, happiness is dependent on circumstances. But joy is through Christ. Happiness is based on the circumstances that everything's just got to go right. And that you just need to give me a reason to be happy. You know, if the circumstances, then the mood, the temperature is just right, then I'll be happy. And so, but when circumstances are bad, well, because you made me sad, now I'm sad. You stole my joy, right? Have you ever thought that, or have you ever said it? You stole my joy. In Philippians 4, 11 and 13, again, the Apostle Paul, who has gone through difficult challenges in his life, he gives us a life lesson on the topic of contentment. And again, understand, as Paul is writing, I just want you to imagine, he's like in these stocks, okay? His feet are sprawled out, and he's chained, and he's got a prison guard next to him. He's in prison, and it's nasty, and I don't know what his food was. It's bad. And as he's in that situation, he writes this letter. He says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content. In other words, I have learned how to find joy with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. You see what Paul has done here? It's not based on my circumstances, but joy is through Christ. He says here that in verse 13, he says, "For I can do everything. I can have joy. I can have peace." All of this is not based on what's going on the outside, but what God is doing on the inside through Christ. My joy comes through Christ. He's not looking for the right circumstances, because obviously he's in the circumstances that nobody wants, but Paul was looking not to these things, but he was looking to Christ to fulfill his joy. I read something the other day about Mother Teresa, and as she was teaching the nuns in her ministry, talking about this topic of joy, she was trying to tell them that joy is found in our priorities. And she gave him this acrostic here, and I hope everybody can see. Can everybody see my joy here this morning? It says, so joy, if you're looking for joy in your life, it's a matter of putting your priorities in order. Can everybody see over there? I just want everybody to see the priorities. Just write out the word joy. You see, when Jesus is first in your life, Jesus is first in your life. Now you got a good foundation to build off. But then you have others, okay? And Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. He came to be a servant, to serve others. It wasn't all about himself. This is why yourself, okay? But so if you, Mother Teresa is trying to say to the ladies that he's working with, she's saying, listen, if you want to have joy, put Jesus first. Put others second, and put yourself third. And you know where you see this? You see this in the Great Commandment. Because Jesus says if you want to live the ultimate faith journey, the ultimate goal, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. I mean, and you know what? When you love Jesus, then love others as you love yourself. I have found that when you love Jesus with all that you've got, you can't help but love others, right? But then there's also a thing, the Bible kind of talks about love others as you love yourself. So you are included in here. Aren't you glad that you're included in the Great Commandment? And this is kind of talking about self-care, taking care of yourself. And some of you are like, yeah, I like that. I like that. I like self-care. But here's kind of what happens. You see, what happens is when our priorities get mixed up. And I want you to know the first thing that happens is when we put others first, I just want you to know, first of all, if you put anything else first, you have taken Jesus out of the picture. Because understand the Jesus that you serve. He will, according to the Great Commandment, he will not settle for second best in your life, for second place. Did you catch that? He will not settle for second place. So anything else that you put before him, well, he's like, well, okay, I'm going to hang out here until you get things figured out. But when we put others first in our life, what you get oi. 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 Oi, yeah, you don't like that. You know what I've discovered? I've fallen prey to this. When I put others first into my life and I just want to please everybody, I want to make everybody happy, and it just turns into, I can't do it. You know what? Another word that turns into burnout. Burnout. And so, but some of the people are like, that's why I learned my lesson. I don't put others first. I put myself first, right? And so when I put myself first, I get what? Yo. Yo. Look out for me. Yo. It's all about me. And I have learned in life's lesson, I've gone down this track. As a matter of fact, I probably wake up in this spiritual condition every day where I want to be the main thing. But every time I have started to live in this, you know what this leads to? And you tell me, this is what it led for me. It always leads to unfulfillment. Just never fulfilled. I've never found the joy living like this or living like this. It just doesn't happen. And I just want to tell you this. I think Mother Teresa was on to something when she said, listen, if you want to have joy in your life, it ain't going to happen through oi, and it ain't going to happen through yo. It happens through Jesus. Jesus. And I think that's exactly what Paul was talking about here in this passage. It's Jesus. Jesus. When Jesus is not first, there is no joy. When Jesus is not first, I will tell you this morning, you are walking in disobedience. And all I remember is when I was a kid growing up in my house, and I was being disobedient to my parents, it always resulted in pain. And isn't it amazing how that same theory has not changed much today? When I'm not living, when I'm trying to live myself first in my marriage, it always turns into yo. Yo. Or I try to please everybody else in this world, it just doesn't happen. Max Lucado said this: no one can take away your joy because no one can take away your Jesus. But can I just say this? What he's trying to say is, the only one that can take away your Jesus is you. The only one who can take away your Jesus is you. Let me continue on here. Happiness happens by chance. Joy happens by choice. James chapter 1 through 2 through 4. And every time I talk about this passage, it's one of those verses in the Bible, like, I just as soon not have read that. It's bothersome. It's like, why does he have to say that? But it's so true. He says, dear brothers and sisters, so he's talking to the entire church here. He's talking to everyone. When troubles, I don't like that word, this is not going in a good direction, but when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for... Did you hear what he just said there? When troubles come, it's an opportunity for great. Doesn't it just seem like, how does that work? That makes no sense. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Consider it joy. Consider it joy. You know, here's what we get bogged down with happiness. If happiness, what I mean by chance, when things go my way, then happiness will follow. That's my chance. It's just like that's how it works. However, the reality is life doesn't always go our way. And sometimes it's trouble, more trouble, a lot of trouble, and the trouble just keeps mounting. And there's some of you who can really relate to that this morning. But he's trying to teach us joy is really a choice. It's not based on our circumstances. It's by your choice. Listen to a couple of the passages here in the Bible. Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice. That word rejoice means to choose joy. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say it, rejoice. In Philippians 4, you need to understand this is prisoner talking to persecuted. And that's the thing on his mind is he wants to have joy. Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us choose to rejoice, to give joy, and be glad in it. You see, he's like, you need to choose it. It's your decision. Nobody can force this joy upon you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, always be Always be joyful. Again, another thing that you choose to do, never stop praying. Be thankful in all your circumstances. Say that one more time. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Years ago, when I was a pastor in De Pere, Wisconsin, we were there for like 12 years, and there was this lady named Barb Zambon, and she was one of those really, really joyful people. She legitimately had the joy of the Lord. Okay, have you ever met somebody like that? She's like, man, Jesus is all over you. She's always smiling, and she just always had a word for me and an encouragement. But she was just wonderful. And one day she came into and she still had that joyful look in her face, and she's like, hey, Pastor, I need you to know I have cancer. Oh, wow, are you okay? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not so crazy about it. I don't know if I want this. I just needed you to know I have cancer. And so, you know, will you pray for me? I asked the church to pray for me. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And she went through a battle with her cancer. And one day I went to visit Barb in her home. And I saw something that was just, that's how, you know, like, how do you do that? How do you keep the joy in the midst of, you know, something that's really difficult? And I visited her home, and on her refrigerator, there was this paper here, and it was titled, What Cancer Cannot Do. It says, cancer cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot destroy peace. It cannot kill friendships. It cannot suppress memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot steal eternal life. It cannot conquer the spirit unless I allow it. Unless I allow it. You see, Barb discovered that joy is a choice. It's something that you choose. It's not by circumstance. It's not by chance. Number four, happiness depends on your feelings. Joy is the result of God's spirit in your life. So happiness is those things happiness, like, okay, if I want to be happy, then you got to do something that makes me happy, or something really good has got to happen, or there's got to be some experience that makes me feel happy. But Paul tells us that, again, it's not by that. It's not about your feelings, but it's about what God, it's about what the Holy Spirit does in you and through you. See, so understand that when you open up the door of your heart and you invite Jesus into your heart, what actually happens is he places his spirit, called the Holy Spirit, inside of you. That moment that you prayed that prayer, we're going to pray that prayer in just a little bit here, but when you prayed that prayer, God says, okay, there you go. You open up your heart, and I'm going to place my spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit. And the Word of God says here in Galatians that it's called, what happens is the fruit of the Spirit starts to come out of your life. So when you put Jesus in, the Spirit of Jesus begins to come out of your life. And you know, the things like love, joy. Did you catch that? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Somebody needs some of these things for Christmas? Need some of these things in your life? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, the Holy Spirit must be in you if you want him to work through you. If you want the fruit of God's Spirit in your life, you got to invite the Spirit of God into your life. Craig Rochelle said this, my joy isn't based on what happens to me, but what God is doing in me and through me. You know what? One of my favorite Bible characters, just a strange guy, but this guy named John the Baptist. And when he discovered this Jesus and what he does in people's lives, you know what? His statement was something like this. He makes a statement in John. He says, he, talking about Jesus, now that I know who he is, the Savior of the world, peace, hope, and joy is coming to the world. Therefore, he must become more, and I need to become less. I need more of Jesus in my life. So as I close out this message this morning, I ask you, is this where you're at this morning? Are you living your life trying to please others and feeling burned out, frustrated? Or have you tried this one? I'm just going to live for myself, man. Look out for me. And you got this and you got that going on, and you got the greatest job in the world, and you make a lot of money, and you got a beautiful house, but just unfulfilled. Like, is that working? Maybe this is what you're missing. Maybe you got these things out of whack. Remember, Jesus, he's like, he's God. And he's not going to take second place. And the only way, he says, that you want joy in your life, put things in order. And so maybe you're here this morning and Jesus is not in your heart. And you need that joy. You can invite him into your life. This is the main thing. This is the good news that he's come to bring us. You could have God in your life through a personal relationship with him. All you have to do is invite him into your life. Would you like to do that this morning? All of those who are watching, even online, the 715, it's as easy as this. Just bow your heads with me and talk to Jesus. And say, Jesus, I need you. I have put other things, other people first in my life. I have put myself first in my life, and I have not found the joy. And so, Lord, I'm surrendering my heart to you. I'm inviting your Spirit to come and live inside of me to give me the joy that my heart is looking for. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise for his joy this morning? Thank you, God. I love this statement by Ted Cunningham, and I'll close with this. He says, if you want a drama-free family Christmas, how many of you are interested here? Take 100% personal responsibility for your emotions, your words, and actions, and 0% for others. Quality family time equals zero attempts at changing others. Amen? Amen. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Once again, we want to welcome you to come to our Christmas Eve service on Tuesday evening. Our door is going to open at 4:30. We're expecting a full house, 4:30 with some fellowship. Invite you to come out. Can I just pray blessings and favor over you? In Jesus' name, I pray every person in this room, and we've been talking about all we want for Christmas, but I pray they would experience the hope of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, and the joy of Jesus like never before. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen.